Praise God. We've got a title here, and we're calling our teaching today, Our Glorification as Sons. Our Glorification as Sons. This is a subject not taught much on, and yet it's clearly defined in the Word of God. And this is very much part of the deeper life teaching that we have been teaching for many years. And I know that we are seeing the fruit of it in our lives and our walk with the Lord. And so I want to talk today our glorification as sons. We have to learn that we're not just saved to make it into the kingdom of heaven, which much are taught today, but we are saved with a calling and a vision and a purpose. And above all, it's to glorify the Lord. You see, without a vision, the people perish. They become confused. They lose the way. They have lost the direction, the motivation. You see, for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it says we will be filled. We're filled with a vision, a future, a hope. God begins to reveal certain aspects of this blueprint that he has, that we are on a course, we are on a journey, and we are destined for the throne of God. And the Apostle Paul has much to say about this, but he's aware in his preaching and teaching that not all mature, not all see the greater purpose and meaning of their salvation. In other words, they don't see the rewards that come to those who trust the Lord, who walk by faith and who are committed. You see, we have taught for years that you cannot remain a babe in your walk. You have to grow and mature from the milk of the word onto the solids. And our maturity, much of it comes through trial and tribulation. It comes from faithfulness and commitment. And God's purpose is to glorify overcomers. And the ultimate of this is going to be before the Antichrist fully comes and reveals himself, is the snatching away or the rapture of the church, the first fruits, which of course is an indication of the harvest that is going to come from the reaping of the world, the four corners of the earth, which will be done by ministering angels. It is a foretaste. It is revealing this harvest that is going to be reaped. And always the first fruits, as we know under the Old Testament, were brought and presented and placed on the altar as a thanks, as a sign of what is going to come. And some see this and some don't. We see it because our lives are being prepared by the Holy Spirit for such a purpose. And as I've said, the ultimate purpose of God is to make us glorified sons and daughters of God. That is, in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. It will never be accomplished in any other image, purpose, or reason. It can only ever be achieved in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And here John writes, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So there is to come an unveiling, a revelation of the sons of God. And it reveals that it's done through purification, through commitment, through believing, remaining faithful to the call that God has set before us. You see, we're called to walk in full commitment as disciples of Christ. And our faith enables us to mature as sons in order that we will be manifested to groaning creation. So this is why we make so much about faith, because our faith matures us as sons. That is what it's designed for, that we trust God and not man. For only God can place this sonship and adoption within us. Let's turn to something familiar that we know very well in Ephesians 4 and verse 13. We see through the ministries, the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the anointing that God has set now over a remnant who've come out of bondage, religion, confusion, man-made denominations, those who've come out, just like God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. So there's a spiritual application taking place where there is a remnant around the world who are responding now, who've had enough of religion, unbelief, wrong teaching, no harmony in the body of Christ. They've come away from it and they are bringing themselves under Christ's headship. Where is Christ's headship to be found? In the wilderness, where few are willing to go to be trained, to be matured as sons and daughters of God. And how is God doing this in the last days? He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we note that everything is done unto Christ, who is the author, finisher of our faith. That we come to unity of faith. In other words, we believe. We are one in our journey of walking by faith. We are one in our knowledge of the Son of God. So the Word of God is a knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is why it's not a dead letter. This is why I emphasize so much there is a person behind the Word of God that you read, that you share, that you teach, that we come to a knowledge of him, to a perfect man. Without perfection, no one will see God. So there is a degree of perfection that God is looking for that is worked in us by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that's in our lives, that lies in Jesus Christ, not us, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're coming into his fullness, his likeness. As he was, so are we. As he is now in glory, so are we. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, which is exactly why you came away from religion, from Christians who don't want to grow up, who don't want to mature with God, you come away because you don't any longer want to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and doctrine by the trickery of men. We have so many in pulpits who beguile God's people. They are not true. They are not sincere. Deceitful, plotting, crafty. Because the problem is itself that still gets in the way. They've never settled the message of the cross, that we identify with Christ's death and resurrection. Many, sadly, behind pulpits have never settled that one. They're placed there by man and not by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, that is Christ. So it says speaking the truth in love. The Bible speaks the truth in love, and most don't want to hear it. They want their ears tickled. They want to be told, you are good, you are fine, God loves you, you've got a journey, one-way ticket into glory. I wish it was like that. It'd make my job a lot easier, but it isn't, because the Word of God says it's a narrow way. Few there be that enter. So we speak the truth in love, growing up in all things unto him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies. So whatever joint, whatever part of the body, because we know that the body is resembled like a living organism, whatever is in the body, the arm or the leg or the eye or the foot or whatever, that God supplies what he gives us, it's working effectually. Every part. It's affecting you, that you grow, as it says, in the body for edifying of itself in love. So the body of Christ, our gathering together today, our fellowship is for the edifying, the building up in love, unity, oneness. It's all a work of the Spirit. And that's why we're called to walk in full commitment as disciples of Christ. And our faith enables us to mature as sons. This is why I teach you faith. I do not compromise with faith. We are to believe. That is the basis, because that is where you mature as sons and daughters of God. What for? In order to be manifested to groaning creation. Revelation 12. Now, do you know this divine order that is being achieved? That is the question. Are you aware the power of the Spirit of God is training you, getting you to walk as a disciple, not just a church member, not just someone who goes to church on Sunday, but I'm being trained by the power of the Holy Spirit to be a disciple. A disciple is one who's committed, who walks daily with the Lord, not just on certain days or just on a Sunday. Do I know the power of the Spirit that is causing me to grow up? That I at times experience the growing pains that isn't always pleasant, where God begins to treat me and work with me on another level than it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, or however long you've walked with God. There has to be and experience and knowing that my life is changing, altering, conforming to his image. If we know that, then manifestation and glorification is your reward, and you are being prepared for that. You see, it's important that we understand, that we know this vision, which we follow, because nothing else fits. We have to walk in what we have been predestined to walk into. This is why sons are predestined from the foundation of the world. And your walk, your commitment, your fellowship, your being here, your listening to this teaching is a sign you have been predestined. You have been divinely called. And what God calls and predestines, what he speaks into being, will never return to him void. It will be accomplished. It will be done. Why? Because when God spoke the world into being, when he spoke it by the word of God, he has spoken the same over your life, my life, and all those who love to go on into the deeper life teaching. Can't go wrong. From God's perspective, whom he's called and predestined, and you say to me, well, how do I know? Well, you keep coming. You keep listening. There's an identification in your heart, in your spirit, that identifies the Spirit speaking to you. And I always know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, because in my flesh I can't do it. I can't keep it. It's impossible. So something within me tells me that has to be God, as he wouldn't be telling me. And so it's by, not by might, not by power, by the Spirit of God. And I just believe it. Even though I know I can't do it, live it or walk it, I still believe it. Why do I do that? Because the Word of God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Everything that God will present is impossible to make it God. You've been predestined and called as sons and daughters of God is impossible. Can't happen. But something within us says, all things are possible to them that believe, and I choose to believe. And that's all it takes. And if you mean that with all your heart, soul, mind, and being, then God is going to move heaven and earth to make that reality to you and I. There are times we make faith so complicated, so difficult, yet some of the most profound revelations that God reveals is so simple to actually comprehend and believe. That's what makes it annoying sometimes, that we can be our own worst enemy. I want us to turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Acts 2 and verse 14. And we know this very well, and it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're in the process of that. We're now moving to the latter rain. The latter rain is pouring out. And like often with rain, it starts moderately and gets heavier. And so a remnant are receiving the revelation that comes with the latter rain. You see, rain is to water the land. What for? That food may grow. That God's creation that he made may be watered and kept alive. You see, it's more than just rain. It's the purpose of the rain. And the purpose of the latter rain, because the apostle was experiencing the former rain, but he spoke of the latter rain. He said the outpouring, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a sign of empowerment on saints, that this latter rain is to raise sons and daughters. But we know, sadly, the church didn't believe, and after nearly 100 years began to fall into unbelief. When's the Lord coming? The apostle answered that question to the church at Thessalonica, and they began to lose sight, and then the loss of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the rest is history, and you can read it in church history. Here again, we've been revived. We've received again the outpouring of the Spirit, the latter rain now, because the coming of the Lord is near, as we've just read to you in the prophecy of Joel. He says, the sun shall turn into darkness, the moon into blood. That is speaking of supernatural judgments of the last day. And we're seeing signs of this now beginning to happen, with a great falling away that is taking place, with wars, rumours of wars, and so on. I don't have to tell you, you're hearing it daily in the news. And let's remind ourselves in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. We're speaking today about our glorification as sons, daughters of God. Romans 8, 12 to 30. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So there it is. This is not something that is done to flesh, to pride, to man. This is a spiritual work. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So he says you have the witness, your child, you're born again. But in that, there's a greater work of the Spirit that is going to lead you into sonship. Now, I just want to stop there briefly and just go over quickly about the doctrine of adoption. It's interesting that redemption makes one a child of God. But you see, adoption makes one a son of God. And this comes through the rights of sonship. You see, this is taken from Roman law. what the apostle is dealing with here. You see, every child is a son, but not every child recognizes or realizes that you have a warp presented before you into sonship. You see, Christians need to be taught what adoption obtain, what you can have, how you can become a son, not just a child. Now, it's interesting that we need just to understand this. The word adoption isn't actually a very good translation, biblically. You see, it means, the term means to be placed as a son. That's what it actually means. You see, in Greek and Roman, and also, I believe, in Jewish cultures, when a boy, a young man, becomes a certain age, he was placed then as a son. He was given all those legal rights and powers and authority of sonship. And Paul uses this word adoption in a legal sense, that by God's grace, to those who believe, we as children, through the new birth, we have the potential to be placed as sons and daughters of God. We're granted, in other words, a position as adults before God. And this implies that we are adopted by our Father. Now, of course, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, so we become sons and daughters of God by our faith, by the new birth. But there is a place where you can be placed, put into that position to be an heir, a co-heir with Christ, to rule and reign with him, to grow up, to mature, to be used in eternity, and certainly to be used in the millennium when Christ comes to rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth. You have a great authority and position on the earth, glorified saints, to minister to the world as it repopulates, because a remnant will go through who will not be destroyed to repopulate the earth. A type of Noah, when God destroyed the whole of the earth, he preserved a remnant to populate, and the animals. So it's a type again, because Jesus said that the last days will be like the times of Noah. Not only the abominations that took place, that God wished he never created man, but that the principle is that the ark was a spiritual type to preserve, to raise man above the floods. And what did it do? It took them up as the floods began to mount on the earth. So they were raised up. So we are going to be raised up again by Christ calling us up with him, a type again. And God is going to save a remnant that will be left after the judgments on the earth, which are going to be horrendous. Many will not survive. But a remnant will go through and they will populate. They will multiply. But they have to be educated. They have to be taught. They have to be guided. They have to know Christ, who is the King of Kings, ruling and reigning over the earth. And there your ministry comes into being. You are part of that. It's a type of what we see today. We see today our governments, our ambassadors, our leaders, our prime ministers, or whatever it is. Well, that's a type of what God is going to have when he rules and reigns on the earth. And you are called as a royal priesthood to be functioning in his divine government. You, each of us, will have a divine calling set by him to minister over the earth. You see, very few preach this or understand this. Isn't it tragic that there is such a limited vision in churches? This is why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to be taught what pertains to God's kingdom that he's going to establish on the earth. And FGA, he still wants to open your eyes to what you have been called to, why you have been trained, prepared. You're not just saved to go up and sit on a cloud all day long and play a harp. That's not what it's about at all. And so the apostle is taking this identity that he sees in culture, and he's applying this spiritually now, and that's why he's writing Romans 8 to us, so that we can understand. And that's why he says, as we go on in verse 18 of Romans 8, 12, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So you are a revelation. The body of Christ now, the remnant, is a revelation of God revealing himself through Jesus Christ through us, through our commitment, our message, our teaching. And how does he do this? Through the fivefold ministry that he's raised up again: the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They are called of God. They are anointed of God. This is why I say you are being taught revelation now, direct, in these last days. And God's sheep will hear it. They will recognize. They will follow. And it goes on, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." So heaven, the angels, the host of witnesses, all our forefathers, our mothers and fathers who followed Christ, who are in glory, eagerly are waiting for the unveiling of this next event of the sons of God revealing the glory of God upon the earth. That they will see that God has set through the creation of man, he has called first fruits to himself. The Old Testament saints that are recorded there are first fruits under the old covenant. You are called now first fruits under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." So because of the fall, everything altered and changed. There's a hope that's set before us, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we groan. We're waiting to be birthed. Here it is, the revelation in Revelation 12. The man-child groaning in labor pains from the corruption that holds us. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." And he goes on with that. And that's our experience. We're waiting to be changed. There's nothing in this life that really holds us that is of interest. Our heart and affection is in this, is above. Ready to be with our Lord and Saviour. This is why sonship, the deeper life teaching, is based on relationship. First and foremost, our love for Christ. And you must always keep that in mind and hope. Else you've missed it. You're not understanding it. You're not growing up. You see, it's interesting when couples come together and they marry. Many, I've heard, in their discussions, in their relationships, will all say, I didn't really know what it was, maturity and everything, until I got married and realised this is where you really start growing up. This is where you learn to get on with another person in your life, to love even the parts about them that you don't like. This is where you grow up. And it's our relationship with Christ. If we want relationship with him and we're betrothed to him, this is where you grow up. Because that's what relationships do. Relationships, if you really want true and honest and loving relationships, you cannot be a babe, a child, not at all, because you are prepared to take on responsibilities. That's why a man and woman takes those vows before God, for that purpose. And it's the same with us. We're being prepared for responsibilities. Why? Because you have been predestined and called and adopted as sons and daughters of God before the foundation of the world. It's the only message that you are attuned to, that you understand. There are children who are immature in the faith. They don't understand a lot of this teaching. How do we know? Because we see them. We haven't many in the room. They come in, they'll stay for 10 minutes and they go. Why do they do that? Because a lot of them have not been called. They don't hear. But you hear. And blessed are your ears, your eyes. For flesh and blood does not reveal this to you. This comes by the Spirit. And you will always know when it's by the Spirit, because it can't be kept. You can't do it. It's impossible. But something within you ignites, and it's called faith, and says, well, it looks hopeless. I don't know how it can be achieved. But I know that I believe in God, the power of God, the nature of my Father. I'm learning things about him that convinces me that what is impossible with man is possible with God. How do you know that? Who reveals that to you? Who's working that in you? That is God's calling over your life. Doing that. This is what excites me with my walk with God. Every day more and more I realize I'm kept by that God's power, because I can't do it. But I don't make that can't do it as my confession. I put that in the cupboard and I bring out believing, trusting that through weakness he makes me strong. It shouldn't take us by surprise now, brothers and sisters, if we're growing up in this faith walk, that it's impossible. I can't do this, or whatever it would be. That's how it's always going to be presented. Every day there's a mountain. But Something within me knows that God has overcome that mountain. This is why I believe what the Word of God says, that Jesus has overcome the world, and your faith overcomes the world as you believe and don't doubt. And that's how it's going to be each day as you walk. My faith says I overcome this day and every obstacle, everything I encounter in it. Because Jesus has gone before, he has overcome the world. That is why we are destined to be glorified as sons and daughters of God. We are the clay on the potter's wheel. And the potter has his hands upon us, moulding us, working with us, perfecting us, raising us as a vessel of honour fit for his use. You will know the potter's hands if you haven't. You will. You'll know that moulding. You'll know that shaping. Because you realize it's something I cannot in myself do. But those divine hands have taken hold of my life and of conforming and changing me into the image of his Son, Jesus. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope it's simply confirmed your vision, your call. As a disciple before Christ, what you are destined for. And if not, then a seed has been planted into your heart that God is going to water by his Spirit.